You don't need to look at your phones or your watches at this time. Ben, what was the first slide that you showed? Your why you exist? See the hope and potential in every young person. Paul says in Romans 15, verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give one part of my message this morning, but I feel like God's just saying a few things to me. I'm sure he's talked to you. I think of the place, the drop-in center, the upper deck that we have here in town. And I think if you were to talk to the staff, if you were to talk to the students there, I would hope that the one word that people would use is it's a safe place. I want Westburn to be known as a safe place. Right or wrong, there's a lot of people do not see the church as a safe place. The church has failed a lot of people over the years. I believe in the ministry of the church. And I am thankful for the ministry that we've had here. I'm reminded of a story that just came to my mind when I was listening to the Rose share about some of these young mothers. And I was, many of you have probably read the book by Phil Yancey, What's So Amazing About Grace. And he talks about a story about a young teenage mother who was a drug addict and just was spiraling down out of control. And Phil Yancey has this conversation with her. And he says to her, he says, why wouldn't you reach out to the church? And I believe, if I remember correctly, her response was, I already feel bad enough about myself. I don't need anyone else to tell me how bad I am. And as I'm thinking about this morning, I'm thinking about the hope that we have, and the hope that people can have of all ages in Jesus Christ. And we are looking at the Apostles' Creed. And this morning I was going to be talking about basically 3 points. I wanted to talk about that Jesus descended into hell. I wanted to talk and just refer to his resurrection and then his ascension. And as I've been thinking about it, I think it's clear in the scriptures that we see that Jesus rose from the dead. I believe that when we look at the scriptures that we can see that Jesus physically rose from the dead, that he appeared to many people, that people saw his scars, that he ate breakfast, that for a period of about 30 days or so, he walked and he met with people over again. I believe there is no doubting the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. I look at it and some people will say, well, there is a number of things, and you can go through the swoon theory that says that Jesus never died, and most physicians looking at the accounts of his death would say it would be impossible for him to endure all that he did. Some people will say that Jesus' body was stolen. You know what? That his disciples stole the body. Read the gospel accounts and you'll see that his disciples were nothing short of being cowards. They ran for their lives. Okay? And so if Jesus never rose from the dead, I do not see anything that would have restored to them this courageousness that would say, well, that they would go and dare risk their lives. Others would say it's a mass hallucination. And again, you can go through these studies, but I believe in the total physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe that he ascended. And when we look at the scriptures, we see that it says that just before his very eye, before their very eyes, that he rose before them, and he ascended into heaven. And we see that there was 2 men clothed in white robes. They were angels. And he said, "Men of Galilee, why are you staring at this? Because the same Jesus is going to come back in the same way. He ascended into heaven. He said to his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be." And that's the truth of the scriptures. That's the hope that we have. But the point that I want to talk about today is that he descended into hell. And a lot of people don't like this in the Apostles' Creed. Many scholars believe that it was added years later into it. I'm not sure, and to me it doesn't matter, because Jesus descended into hell. What is hell? Here's my definition of hell. Where there is no life, where there's no love, where there's no light, that is hell. And so when we see at that particular moment that Jesus suffered and he died, one of the words that is used for hell, I believe in the Greek, is it refers to the grave. Jesus was laid in the grave. But when you look at the life of Jesus, whenever he prayed, what was the phrase that he used over and over and over again? When he prayed, who did he pray to? Father, Abba, and over again, we see that Jesus was talking to his Father. But upon the cross, when he felt forsaken, who did he cry out to? My God, why have you forsaken me? And at that particular moment, Jesus was venturing closer into the descension into hell because he would be totally forsaken by his Father. Why? Because the Father loved you at that particular moment more than he did his Son, if we can understand it, and I can't. But this morning when I'm looking at these young people and I'm thinking about family that you have and that I have and work people in the workforce, and wherever it be, we need to be able to see that there is a hope in Jesus Christ. And we need to recognize that when we look at somebody that with Christ, these people have a hope. And otherwise, they are lost. Many years ago, there was a song, and I know I used it several years ago when I spoke in this. It says, I'm not scared of dying, and I don't really care. If it's peace you find in dying, well, then let the time be near. If it's peace you find in dying, when the dying time is here, just bundle up my coffin, because it's cold way down there. I hear that it's cold way down there. And when I die and when I'm gone, there'll be one more child in this world to carry on, to carry on. My troubles are many, they're as deep as a well. I can swear there ain't no heaven, but I'll pray there ain't no hell. But I'll never know by living, only by dying will tell. I think we live in an age, again, where the truth of scriptures is being attacked. The truth of the scriptures is being rejected. And when we look at the purpose of the creed, the purpose of the creed was for what reason? Because a heresy that was coming into the church. And the early church fathers said that they knew that they had to stand firm in the truth. They had to proclaim what the tenets of the faith was. And that's why the creed was developed. Again, it was not a standalone. It was to point to the word of God. And so when we look at this morning and I read these words, and I see that he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and dead, and he was buried. It is finished. Philippians chapter 2, he was obedient to death, even death on the cross. Jesus' life was terminated. Do you understand that? He died. He died. And then it says in those words that he descended into hell. And I want us to say this morning that I believe that Jesus descended into hell. And some people say, is that figuratively or is it literally whatever it would be? And I think two things. I think first of all, that the separation that Jesus suffered at that particular time when the Father had forsaken him, when the Father turned his back on him, points to the fact that in that particular moment that Jesus experienced hell. Because when I look at it, hell says to me, it is separation from God. It's eternal separation. And in that particular time, Jesus descended into hell. I look at it, and I look at the Psalms, and you know what? It's just the way I'm looking at it, and hopefully you'll understand this. In Psalm 103, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and the justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are from the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as from the east as from the west, so far as he has removed our transgressions from us. I would say this morning that when I think about as far as the east is from the west, what does that say to you? They never meet. If you keep going west, you're going to keep going west. And what I'd like to believe this morning is because of the work of Christ on the cross, that hell and heaven could not be any further apart. That there's that extreme gap there. And Jesus bore our sins. His blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. But I believe that in descending into hell, that he was taking on the wrath of God, all of our sins, and death was defeated. We read it in the scriptures, death, where is thy sting? Why? Because the Spirit of God raised Jesus from the dead. And when he raised him from the dead, he was no longer entrapped in a position of hell, and he was raised into glory. He was resurrected. He's coming back. He ascended on high. And the hope that we have is this, that we, sinful people, separated by God, that because of his grace and the faith that we have in Jesus Christ, we have a hope. Read in 1 Corinthians 15. Let me read it for you. And when we look at the scriptures, and Paul is talking about the resurrection, he says this: For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That he was buried, he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Sounds like a creed. And that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. And after he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have still fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. Paul continues on. He says, if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? And this was the heresy coming into the early church. If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ hasn't been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then to be found false witnesses about God, for we have testified of God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him. In fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, then we are to be pitied more than all. But the next verse is, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. And there's our hope. And so, my friends, this morning, I know this has been quick, but I think we need to understand that there is a hell that people are facing. And I know we don't preach it enough. And I know that we can preach about God's love. But we need to understand that Jesus took the wrath, all of their sins upon himself. Jesus took the wrath of the Father because it was due to us for our sins. He took it upon himself. The hope that we have is found in Jesus Christ, who was crucified, died, buried, descended into hell, raised from the dead. That is the hope that we have. Because he lives, we may also live. And so this is what I want to share with you this morning. Hell is not an easy doctrine to believe, and we have difficulty with the thought of a God who is supposedly loving, and how could he send anyone to a hell that is eternal, to one of punishment? John Ortberg wrote a blog a number of years ago called The Definition of Hell. And in it he said, you are made for God, Jesus says, and nothing else can satisfy your soul. Then I have to ask you today to think about this. Imagine a human being facing eternity, having cut themselves off from the one person who alone has the power to save their souls. Imagine eternity of insatiable desire and frustrated longing because I will not bend my knee to the one who can heal me and make me whole. Gnashing of teeth, ultimate frustration, separation. The essence of hell is nothing more than separation from God. There's no life, there's no love, there's no light. God doesn't do it to anybody, we do it to ourselves. God does not send people to hell. People choose it. and there's a choice that we need to make. And my friends, this morning, I am so thankful for our brothers and sisters that are here from Youth Unlimited. Never think that you are outside of the church. You are the church. You're the church that's gone to a place that many of us won't go. But each one of us has the ability. We meet here on Sunday mornings, and the church assembles. But the church is to go. And so I want to encourage you that each one of us would find that place where God is calling us to, where he's already put us, and that we would realize that there are many around us who do not have the hope that we do in Jesus Christ. And may we be a people that say, Lord, use me for your glory. Hell is the absence of the presence of God to bless. Hell is the presence of God to judge. And so let me say that again. Hell is the absence of the presence of God to bless, and hell is the presence of God to judge. Our guilt, our sin, our shame, all upon Jesus at the cross. He took it upon himself that he might be obedient to the Father's will. What is the message that we have this morning? The message is that each one of us should know that there's a hope that we can all have personally in Jesus Christ. And in having that hope, that it's a hope that we want to share. You know what? Jesus broke the power of sin. Jesus broke the chains that shackled us of sin. Will we continue to sin? Yes, we will. But knowing his grace, there's that hope that though we do err, and though we do sin, that God's love continues to be steadfast. And he's with us. Conviction is something that we don't like, but conviction is God's way through his Spirit of drawing us back to him and keeping us and wanting us to be corrected and enjoying the blessing of our God. So folks, forgive me this morning for the brevity of this message, but I hope we all understand the importance of this. When we're looking at the life of Jesus Christ and we're looking at the creed that he descended into hell. Why? For you, for me. It wasn't for him. He who knew sin, no sin, never needed to go there. But obedient to the Father's will, he did. That we might be reconciled, restored, redeemed, that the price of our sins might be paid. That's the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. My friends, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, I pray that you would desire to know the hope that you can only have in him. He will give you new life. A life that will be abundant. A life that is eternal. That is the hope that we have in the one who descended into hell, rose from the dead, ascended to high, and is coming back soon for his church. Let us pray.